City Sport.
Red and blue banter and debate. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
Welcome along to the show. I'm Steve Hoversall, Aldo and Sharpie in the studio. As always, we've got a very dejected John Aldridge and a pretty happy Graham Sharp. A quick thought from you, John, about the weekend. Have you got your head together yet?
No, I haven't been able to read the papers, to be quite honest. And in Swansea, let me down on my bets. So Sharpie's had a cracking weekend on all accounts, by the way. You know, absolutely brilliant. It was good to see Mourinho, actually, you know, at the end of the game. I quite enjoyed seeing that from a Liverpool point of view. You know, Everton played extremely well. I think dire would be the word that you Liverpool fans would use. You know, you look at Man United, the team that they put out, they were there for the taking, and we just weren't up for it.
Fantastic weekend for me. Two fantastic things happened. Everton beat Chelsea, and me bet came up.
No!
Me bet came up, yes. So I'm laughing. And obviously, the Man United-Liverpool game as well. But that was, first half was, I said to you on Friday, about football being boring and all that. That first half of Liverpool, Sunday, was absolutely dreadful. Dreadful. Okay, the second half lightened up because there was goals in it, but first half, and as John says, you know, Liverpool bitterly disappointed because they ain't any great shakes, Manchester United. But Everton, on the day, thoroughly deserved a victory. I don't know what he was talking about, Mourinho, with some of the rubbish he came out with after the game. I thought Everton thoroughly deserved it. They had a spell at 2-1 when they were pushing and looked at, okay, could get an equaliser. We scored a third goal, but Tim Hibbert never had a save to make. So for all this thing he's saying about we this and we could have scored and the decisions went against us, no, they never. Everton took their chances, did well. Their keeper pulled off two fantastic saves from McCarthy and from Coney. So overall, I thought it was top draw performance from Everton.
And how good does Stephen Naismith feel? I'm sure we'll get some calls on this later. You can ring the Radio City Legends, 01514720967. But a hat-trick in that sort of fixture, but sort of by default as well, with Besic getting injured and him getting off an opportunity.
I think it was an angry man syndrome, wasn't it? You know, I wasn't happy that he wasn't playing. And then, okay, Besic, so unlucky for him, the fact that he's, you know, this was an opportunity to get in there and establish himself. He pulls up with an injury, but Stephen Naismith comes on and listen, what an example. You know, gets his head down, works hard, gets in their faces, and a perfect hat-trick. Right foot, left foot, header, and all good goals as well, all quality goals. And it's all credit to him because he could easily have moved on the transfer deadline to go to Norwich for an £8 million fee, but he decided to stay and fight for his place. And listen, by the way, fantastic for him.
What a way to show the manager, you know, as a striker, you know. When you know you're not getting a game, you think you should be playing. You're waiting, you're chomping at the bit. And when you get your opportunity to go bang, 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 he must be feel over the moon. And a manager, he just simply can't keep him out now.
Yeah, well, he's talking about me. He missed the game, Scotland game as well. He didn't play in the Scottish game against Germany. And I don't think he came on there either. So you can imagine he's really disappointed about that. Come the Chelsea game, when he's asked to do a job, he comes in. And the thing about him, he gets in people's faces. He's old-fashioned. He upsets them. He was going up against Ivanovic, you know, and the height difference and the strength and everything. He didn't care. He was putting lumps out of him as well, and it just got in their faces, very much like Costa tried to do it to ours. Naysie done it to them, and, you know, fair play to him, brilliant.
Cracking player. Well done. Absolutely superb. I'm sure many of you out there might want you to say 01514720967. First, this on the show.
Radio City Sports, Steve Hoversall, with our legends, Aldo and Sharpie.
Radio City Sport.
Okay, it's the Legends as always. A Monday night. It's a night for dejected Reds and Blues on cloud nine. There'll be more from Sharpie, of course, throughout the course of the show. We're going to focus on Liverpool, first of all, though. Aldo looking a bit dejected. But what'll cheer him up is a very special guest that we've got on the phone. You'll no longer find him on Church Street in Liverpool. It's Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. It's sunshine, it's happiness. Welcome to the Radio City Legend, Stephen Gerrard. Hi, Steve.
How you doing? Yeah, I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad at all. Is it nice to be... You're actually back home, aren't you?
You never brought the weather with you, Steve. That's one thing, mate.
Well, I'm closer. I'm in London. I've got a bit of work on for BT over the next couple of nights, doing some Champions League analysis in the studio. So I'm closer to home, but I'm only in London, so I'm not in Liverpool where I like to be.
How's life in LA, Stephen? How have you taken to it?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, it's an easy city to settle in. You know, it's a fantastic city. The weather's good, and you know, the people have been very welcome at the club, and even the locals have welcomed me in. So I've settled in nice, and You know, it's different for me. It's a different challenge and it's new. But, you know, I've still been keeping a close eye on what's been going on back home. And, you know, I've had a few days where I've missed it. But, you know, I've got a good lifestyle out there now and I'm enjoying myself.
It's hard to drag yourself away from Liverpool Football Club at the moment, Steve, isn't it? When you know, you're obviously really frustrated with what you're seeing on Saturday. No, I was clawing at the walls. It was so bad, you know, first half in particular.
I'm probably a bit like yourself. I'm still a bit dejected from the performance and the results, of course. You know, it's still quite raw and fresh, but, you know, you've got to understand and look at the big picture as well. It's very early on in the season. You know, we're on the back of two very disappointing performances and results, but there's still a lot of time to recover and, you know, the couple of fixtures we've got coming up. Hopefully we can take 6 points and, you know, start mending that damage early.
How tough is it to watch a fixture like that, knowing you've spent so many years being involved in them, Stephen? Before it kicked off, were you sort of sat there thinking, oh, I still wish I was involved in this?
Yeah, of course. I actually was on the text to Cara just before it, saying, you know, I was watching on the TV, it was showing the stadium and stuff, and I actually sent Cara a text, you know, I'd love to be playing in this today. You know, that's when I actually miss, you know, being there and stuff. But, you know, it was a fantastic game to play in Man United early on in the season. Full house and a lot to play for. Both teams were on the back of two poor results. But for me, I was expecting a big reaction from the West Ham performance. And it never came really till into the second half. And, you know, when you play them big sides, it's too late. And you can't afford to react in the second half when it's too late.
I think the worst part of it, from my point of view, Steve, was Man United without Rooney. I looked the team on paper and I thought, I fancy us here today. If we can get at them as we did Arsenal, I thought, yeah, but they were awful. They were so bad the first time. Okay, yeah, he got a reaction at half time. The manager made a little bit of a change and it worked for him. A couple of things went for them. But other than that, you know, you look at that, that's probably the worst Man United side I've seen us play against. You know, even when we beat them 4-1, which that game was fantastic, coming back from 1-0 down. They played better that day than they did by winning us 3-1 on Saturday, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the frustrating thing for me watching it was, you know, Manchester United didn't have to do too much to win it.
Yeah.
I think that's what will be hurting Brendan and the players so much. You know, we've been to Manchester United and played well before and being beaten sometimes, you have to roll your hand up and, you know, you can accept it if you've given everything you've got and you've created chances and, you know, just hasn't ran your way. But I think listening to Brendan after the game and also speaking to some of the players since the game, they're very frustrated that, you know, there was no creativity there and, you know, they were very disappointed at the first half, you know.
How does he turn it all around? I mean, it's a bit of a blanket question, isn't it? But, you know, all managers have got pressure in the Premier League. That's the environment. The players as well, haven't they, Steve? But how on earth does Brendan sort of approach things? Because the season hasn't started. Well, the last two games haven't, as he would have wanted. He probably would have been delighted after the first three, wouldn't he?
You know, look at the first three. We should have come out them three games with 3 points, but we got 7 points, you know. Yeah, but on the back of that, we've gone...
Very solid start, and obviously the fans are very disappointed at the moment. I'm sure Brendan and the players are still hurting as well, but I think it's important that we don't panic. I think, you know, we need to just take maximum points in the next league game, calm everything down. But yeah, you know, it's very early on into the season. The last 2 weeks have been very difficult for everyone. For me, you know, we're missing some big players. I think it's vital for Liverpool. Daniel Sturridge is back playing and firing as soon as possible. And I think the key for Liverpool where they finish this season will be the partnership that he forms with Benteke, because if they click together, there's plenty more games left for Liverpool to fight, finish high up in the league. So although it's been disappointing, I think the important thing is just to stay calm and, you know, try and win the next game and, you know, try and get some of them big bodies back. Henderson's a big miss.
Yeah.
A lot of energy, a lot of drive in the middle. He's a leader in that pack now. Coutinho's suspension was obviously a hammer blow because he obviously links midfield to attack and he is, you know, a big part of Liverpool's creativity. So I think they're three major players. As soon as they're back fit, you know, if we win the next two and then if we get them three into the 11, I think we'll be fine.
Where do you reckon yourself you'll fit Sturridge in with Benteke? What sort of role within the formation? Where do you think he'll play him?
Well, looking after the weekend's performance, you know, if he does decide to start Sturridge, he's obviously going to have to go to a diamond or a 4-4-2. For me, we haven't got many options in the wide areas, so me, the favourite, knowing Brendan and the team, I think we're more suited to play a diamond in the middle.
Yeah.
But then it obviously takes away maybe some crosses from the wide areas for Benteke.
So you've got to get your
You're relying on your fullbacks. And obviously we've got one of the best fullbacks in the league in Klein, so you're putting a big responsibility on him. But what it does give you, it gives you numbers in the middle of the park, and it gives Coutinho a free role. And you know, we can get Coutinho providing service to Sturridge and Benteke. I think that could be the key for this Liverpool team moving forward.
It's been so long since we've seen Sturridge play consistency. You almost forget just how brilliant he is. I mean, when he's on his game, he's a magician as well, isn't he, Steve?
Yeah,
Sturridge is playing and he's out there. He's fit and he's fine. He's on it because, you know, he's up there with the best. I know that for a fact. I think the frustrating thing for the Liverpool fans and for Daniel himself is he's had a bit of bad luck and he's had some bad injuries. But, you know, when he's starting his stuff out there and he's on form and he's sharp, you know, I've trained against him, I've played with him for some years now. He's up there with the best and he is capable, you know, of getting the goals that can move Liverpool closer to them top four positions really, really quickly. So, you know, he is a big, big miss at the moment. And, you know, he's very close to getting back out there. And just fingers crossed that we can keep him fit. And as I say, him up there with Benteke gives Liverpool, you know, a bit of different animal with them too.
Do you get to watch most of the games, Steve? Are these on at a sociable hour for you over there?
I've seen them all. I've had a bit of luck with the times that we've kicked off. You know, the 8 o'clock kickoffs on the month, all of the big outs to me because I get them at 12 o'clock. So I'll finish training and watch them while I'm having my lunch. The game at the weekend at 5 was no problem as well. I got it at 9:30 in the morning, eat me breakfast, and the other ones that kick off at 3 o'clock, I just get up at 5, 6 in the morning and watch them. No problem.
I know we had a little chat and you golf in Portugal in the summer. Have you had any more thoughts on the coaching and getting your badges down the line, Steve?
I've been thinking about coaching for a couple of years now, and I'm obviously on the ladder. I've done my C licence and my B licence when I was, you know, over in Liverpool before I left. And I have got aspirations of finishing them off, getting my A and my pro further down the line, but you know, I'm not ready to become a coach at that level at the moment. So, you know, I always get asked the question about management and stuff. I'm nowhere near ready for it. You know, it's a different kettle of fish playing the game, you know, being a centre midfielder. But, you know, somewhere down the line, you know, I would like the experience and to see how it works and to gain that experience. So, you know, I cross that bridge when I come to it. I want to carry on playing for a little bit more.
Absolutely, and then
see what happens with that.
Is it... difficult or different playing out there? Is there more of a toll? I say difficult in the sense of the humidity and the conditions. Is it a tough strain to sort of complete the 90 minutes out there, Steve?
Yeah, it's physically a lot tougher than the conditions in England. So, for example, when you're away from home, you'd either face altitude, which is difficult to breathe. You'd either face humidity, where it's scorching hot, or the travel's quite long. They're the challenges away from home. At home in LA, we usually play at about 80 degrees, so it is warm. the conditions are the biggest test for me, obviously, not being used to them and stuff. The level's not Premier League. You know, it is growing out there, and there's some good players, but all the lads are fit and professional, and they do it right and stuff. So it's still a competitive level. You know, I still prepare all week and enjoy footy at the weekend. But it is different from back home. You know, it's not the intensity day-to-day preparing for Premier League games. The fans are not as intense or as passionate as they are in the Premier League. You actually feel like when you're playing, it's a bit more like a carnival and a relaxed atmosphere, really. So there is differences, but still enjoying your footy. That's the main thing.
I experienced the World Cup in 94 with the Republic of Ireland, obviously. And the conditions, wow, it was ridiculous. Yeah. We played in Orlando, Steve.
Orlando.
And New York, played in the Giant Stadium a couple of games. But Orlando was ridiculous.
And did you not have the added problem of Jack Charlton filling you up with Guinness beforehand?
Well, I don't run around.
They wouldn't allow water on the pitch. So Jack Charlton was going berserk. They wouldn't allow you, even on the break, to throw water on the pitches or nothing, which was very dangerous.
In, we played in Houston against Owen Coyle's team, and we got beat 3-0. And before the kickoff, it was like getting up towards 30 degrees, 31, 32 rising. And the referee came in the dressing room and said, if it gets to 33 degrees, we'll let you have a water break. It stayed 32 degrees for the 90 minutes. I was spitting feathers for about 89 minutes.
It's amazing because we saw it with the tennis, didn't we, at the US Open. They're having to sort of take players off with heat exhaustion in the past week. Yeah. It's that bad, isn't it? Steve, just clear up a few of these. I mean, your book's out. When I actually asked you to come on, I actually didn't know your book was coming out. I saw about four different days of headlines
tasty,
on this.
It looks tasty, Steve. I tell you what, it's been promoted really well, mate. I tell you, it looks very, very tasty.
It's not tasty at all. Obviously, the serialisation makes it a lot tastier than it actually is. I'm hoping that the fans obviously really didn't enjoy it, but I've been very, very complimentary in the book, honest and very real, like I always try and be. And I hope the fans enjoy it, but obviously the serialisation is a big part of any book, and they obviously take the juicy and the tasty bits out of the book.
Well, I'll just throw two at you. So one, it says here you wouldn't have left Liverpool if offered a coaching role. Was that taken out of context, or is there a lot more to the story?
No, I don't think it's taken out of context, but at the same time, I'm not trying to say that I'm ready to be Liverpool number one, two, three, or four, or five. When I said that I wasn't after a job title. But, you know, when my agent sat down with Liverpool before I left, there was no mention of a coaching role. Our coaching role only got mentioned to me after I'd announced I was going to LA. But I just thought, you know, at the time, if Liverpool had said to me, look, well, Brendan did actually say your minutes are going to be a lot less moving forward and stuff. You know, if the club had said to me, would you like to shadow Brendan or, you know, start, you know, having a look into the first team setup, the coaching side of it, and get some kind of experience, it has certainly put a spanner in the works with me decision. You know, it'd give me something to think about, and but it wasn't to be. And you know, I mentioned it in the book exactly what happened. That's how it is.
Fair dues, very honest. And yet you talk a little bit about Coutinho. I read something today. You fear, obviously, he's pretty much the special one at Liverpool at the moment. We've seen that. You fear he could be the next target if maybe Liverpool don't live up to his ambitions in the coming years, given, you know, a South American player?
Yeah, it's not even so much if Liverpool don't live up to their expectations. You know, the reality is Spanish and South American players, they all have dreams and aspirations of playing for Madrid or Barcelona. You know, it's a bit of a different mentality than local players, and I know how good this kid is. I know he's going to get a bit better and he's going to become incredible. My worry and my concern, what I said in the book, is I know that them two eventually will knock on the door with this kid, and it is difficult in that situation to keep all of these players. You know, I'd love nothing better than Philly to sign a 10-year deal and stay here for a long time. You know, I'm not trying to scare anyone by it, but you know, I've experienced it with Torres and Suarez when they hit them heights where playing in the form of their lives. Them type of clubs come knocking, and it's difficult to keep hold of them.
Yeah, you want to keep them. You mentioned those two, and before John mentioned the 4-1, that was obviously a really special game in which you were involved. If you look at sort of different eras, who's the best Liverpool team that you played in, Stephen? What do you think?
I think the best team would be more towards the Fernando time, when Fernando was in the incredible form he was in, and you know, we had that spine which was very strong, you know, Reina, the back, and then you had Carragher and Hippier, who at the time were probably two of the best in Europe. We had the best passer in Europe, if not the world, in Alonso, and he was suited to the Premier League because he was so brave and liked to put his foot in. And then we had a selfless player in Mascherano who could play but also done so much incredible work, and the dirty way people have started calling it in the game now. And you know, we all bounced off each other, and we was just such a good match. And we had some good players in around that, workhorses like Coit and Abeloa. And, you know, for me, that was probably the strongest team. And I think, looking back now, I believe that team should have won the league.
We come close on that year, people tend to forget, you know, that time when Man United beat us. How's the golf going, Steve? You playing much? You are getting better than you was in the summer? Because I'm playing terrible at the moment.
I'm average, to be honest. I've been trying to get out there and have a little go. Of course, out there, as you can imagine, so I've been having a little go. But Still off the handicap at 12. It's not moving very far, though, because I'm not playing well at all.
Just a quickie before you go. No one offered to sort of film your life story? No one come to you and say, we'll make a film out of you, Steve?
Watch this space.
Oh, I have. Who would you like to play you? Bradley Cooper.
It won't be one of them type of films, I don't think.
No?
But no, I mean, you know, as I say, there's people who are quite interested in finding out what my lifestyle is like over here in LA and stuff. So I'm just trying to give all the fans back home a little bit of an insight what it's like and how different it is to back home. So hopefully I'm doing that as I'm going along.
Oh, so you're talking great. About he's talking about a documentary. I thought it might be a feature film. I thought it might be a blockbuster there.
Can't get in the way as usual there, Steve.
Stephen, you've been an absolute gem coming on. Thank you very much indeed. Hopefully when you're back in the city, you might come and join the lads in the studio sometime.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Brilliant, yeah.
Fingers crossed for you. You're on BT Sport this week. Your book's out, so a big plug for that as well. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much.
All the best, Stevie.
Thank you.
Thanks, pal.
The Legends.
Radio City Sport.
Radio City Sport. Steve Hothersall with our legends, Aldo and Sharpie.
Radio City Sport.
We're in stoppage time at the end of the first half. Just the 1 minute of it. Here's Leon Osman, played to the right for Seamus Coleman, who had a real chance for Everton just moments ago. Here's Ross Barkley just outside the box. Barkley in for Osman. Osman's little chip to the far post. Oh, chance for... Yes! In by Naismith! Jelinek got it, headed back across goal. And Stephen Naismith, the birthday boy, who many didn't expect to start today in the absence of Stephen Pienaar, has headed into the gaping goal, courtesy of the chip ball into the box, nodded back by Jelinek, and headed home by Stephen Naismith. 27 today, and he gives Everton the lead here at Goodison.
Superbly described by Alan Irwin and Graham Sharp with the goal in the background. This is the Radio City Legends. You can get in touch 0151 4720967. 4720967. You might want to talk about Naisy. You might be a Red. You might want to put something to Aldo. But the Naismith commentary we heard there 2 years ago, it was his 27th birthday. And then he becomes the first player since Dixie Dean in 1931 to score a hat-trick against Chelsea this weekend. He obviously likes playing them.
Yeah, spooky. You know, he's got a good record. But listen, as John said before, it just shows you, like, you know, he's had to be really, really patient. He'd have been disappointed that he hasn't had more minutes, but he's worked his socks off. You know, he's worked hard in training. He wants to get the opportunity to go on and prove the manager wrong, and he's done that. You know, listen, whether he starts week in, week out, remains to be seen, but certainly he's put himself right back in the frame as if to say to the manager, there you are, drop me after that. And he can't. And he's, you know, there's other players here. Lennon's been brought in. You probably think he might have got on before him. I said Morales might have got on before him, but the manager knows what he's all about. And as I said to you before, the thing about him is he stands up and he's aggressive. You know, you look at the Chelsea side and they're all big, strong, powerful guys. Romelu Lukaku up top is a big, strong, powerful guy, but he's not aggressive. Naisy's aggressive and he gives him something. He's a pest to play against. I bet if you ask those defenders, they'd say, oh, not him coming on. He done the same at Tottenham. He changed the game at Tottenham. You know, he took the game to Tottenham. Okay, we got a draw down there, but, you know, fair play to him. Absolutely fair play. Made up for him. You know, and after the game, you know, you're looking for man of the match performance, and obviously he gets all that, the plaudits for a hat-trick, and rightly so. But you could have went through Stones. It was immaculate. Jagielka was faultless. Coleman, Bartley was excellent as well. So it was a really, really good team performance without, you know, and but individual performances as well were brilliant. Really, really top 10.
Speaks volumes for young Stones.
Oh.
You know, everyone's, you know, the guys of the world were probably on him more so than Mourinho. You know, see how he handled the situation in the game. And as Sharpie said, he's different class. You know, so... he's just growing in stature game by game, the young lad.
He looks. It reminds me very much of Alan Hansen in the terms of the way he plays and never seems, you know, flustered. He seems to be composed on the ball, a little dummy in the box with Falcao to let the ball run past, a little shimmy going past people in the box. So he's got that Alan Hansen look about him, you know, really composed. Listen, he's still got loads to learn, he'll tell you that, but He handled Costa well, as did Jagielka. He was more interested in fighting Costa, to be fair. But they've got problems. And people say this and that. They are now a team of individuals, whereas in the past they've been a team. Team spirit, grit and determination with Terry and Cahill at the back. That was missing on Saturday for me. So that was a different Chelsea team. Mourinho come out and make all the excuses, but something ain't right there. When you look at everything that's happened behind the scenes as well, with the woman doctor and everything else, there's just a little bit of strife on that in the Chelsea camp. And I think don't get me wrong, I still think they'll be up there at the end, they'll turn things, but it's not all rosy in that garden.
Okay, let's get to the phone lines. I think our first caller tonight is a blue. It's Anthony, who's in Highton. Welcome to the Legends Show, Anthony.
How do you? All right.
Really, Anthony?
Very good. Sharpie's here.
Yeah, I'll do Sharpie.
Hi,
okay,
Anthony.
Mate.
Yeah.
I'm a blue myself. It's hard to question. It's hard to question the tactics of Everton after Saturday's performance, obviously.
Yeah.
But it seems to me like every game, I don't know whether any Blues themselves getting frustrated by it, but I'm getting frustrated by, Bessage and Coney starting on the wings. Bessage on the left and Coney on the other. When you've got Delafay and Morales sitting on the bench. And I just wanted your opinion on it. Because when Delafay played in the League Cup, he was outstanding. And he's still not getting his chance. I just don't know why.
Yeah, Anthony, but you look at the stage and we know Delafay and he's came back. And I think he was behind in fitness levels when he came back to the club. I think they've got to get his fitness levels up to what's required. And I think they're working hard at that. So obviously when he's 100% fit, then he'll get maybe the opportunity to play more. I think the boy Coney's come in and proved a lot of people wrong. I was one of them, and I thought, no, he can't really play wide right. And even on Saturday, I thought he might have changed it and might have put Lennon there, at home, but he didn't. But you've got to give credit to the manager, and he said, right, okay, stuck by it. And I think Coney, as I said, he'd have been hard done to if he'd been dropped. So I think it's a really difficult one. But Delafield will play his part, as will Morales. But I thought that he got the substitution spot on. Obviously, he scored a hat trick. But
I
felt sorry for Bessage. No, he looked as if he had an opportunity there to maybe stake a claim, and then he gets injured. So it's disappointing. But listen, there'll be many times this season when the likes of Delafield and Morales will be starting games. And it's just good to know, Anthony, that we've got players now that are fighting for positions rather than guaranteed.
Yeah, it's very, very true, because now you look at our bench now, and we've actually got a bench of quality, which we've never had in the past at some points.
Yeah.
And we've now got a bench of quality where we can bring someone on, and we've actually got people that can change the game.
And Anthony, Saturday, Stones' performance?
Oh, absolutely unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. I mean, he's one of the calmest defenders I've seen on the ball in a long time.
Yeah. Seen somebody today, and I've just seen to John before, and Steve, like, when you look at the nucleus of the side, and you look at Coleman and McCarthy, Lukaku, Stones, they're all of a good age. And I'm speaking to somebody today, it would be great if we could keep that together. Obviously, the Stones and the Chelsea thing and everything else, there'll be people sniffing around. But if we could keep the nucleus of those young players, together for maybe another 3-4 years, you just never know what would be around the corner.
Exactly, because I'm happy with Dwayne Martinez. Took a stand with the Stone situation and transfer, because we've always been known as, people have always branded us as the feeding club, and you get a big talent and sell them, and we proved people wrong lately because we haven't been doing it.
No,
which we, as you know, we can't afford to be selling our best players like that. Otherwise, we're never gonna grow, are we? And
spot on, spot on. And I think, listen, I think they'll come back chapping on the door probably in January, Chelsea, depending what kind of season they're having. And it'd be great if we just said the same thing. Obviously, in time, the decision is eventually down to the player and what he decides. But at the moment, I think we're a better team with John Stones is in it.
Thanks very much, Anthony. Thanks for your call. Going to have to move on.
But cheers, Anthony.
Superb stuff.
Good chatting to you guys. Have a good night.
Cheers. Okay, that's Anthony. Happy blue at the moment. Talking about John Stones. It's the Radio City Legends. You can talk to them, 4720967. I think John Stones looks just immense, but there's other Everton players there as well. I think Barkley could turn out to have the season that everyone has been thinking
about.
He's
still a babby, isn't he? He's still a babby, and he's so much potential. The size of the lad, the strength of him, the versatility of him, and he's just going to get better and better. It's up to him where he's going to finish up. But he's got every attribute that you need to play that position.
Well, centre-halves are hard to find, aren't they? People talk about strikers, but like quality centre-halves and British
very,
ones as well.
Very difficult. Very difficult. I'll tell you what, the way football's developed, all the kids, you know, want to be midfield players or goal scorers. Yeah. Very few want to defend. Yeah. And that's the reason why you look around to get good centre-halves. Hey, Liverpool's got four centre-halves there. And we don't know who's the best. Mm-hmm. Mm. And they're not young centre-halves, you know. We don't know who's the best. It's a real hard job trying to find a good centre-halves. Mm. There's not many about, but he's the best of the young bunch worldwide, probably.
I think first and foremost, you're wanting good defenders. A big bonus is if they can play as well. If they can get two of those assets, you've got some player in your hands. You know, and John looks good on the ball, but he's a capable defender as well. You know, he's decent in the air, he's quick, you know, reads the game well. So, you know, he's got all the assets to be what he wants to be.
And, you know, you look at what Chelsea have done over the years. They've monopolised, you know, a lot of football with the money. And they know they've had the best centre-half in the Premiership for the last 10 years or so, in John Terry. You know, and he's coming to the end. So they want who's going to be the next one. Mm. And it's young Stones. And that if Everton can fend them off, fantastic for Evertonians alike. It'd be tough. Mm. You know, it would be tough because we've seen with players this day and age, they hold the key and the agents hold the key. Mm. You know, and if he's endeared to Everton and he loves Everton, then there's not a problem, as Stevie Gerrard was when he years. Otherwise, Stevie would have gone if he wasn't from Liverpool, probably. Mm. So it could be tough for Everton, but for the Evertonians' sake, you'd love to see him stay for Everton. He's a quality act.
Let's talk with David. He's running Radio City Legends. Welcome to the show, David. Red or blue?
Red always, mate. Always a red.
Go on, then.
This will be a moan-up. Hold on.
Hold on. I'll probably crash helmet on here. Yeah.
All right, Graham. All right, mate. I'd like to speak to Waldo for a sec.
Yeah, go on, Dave.
I can kind of imagine. I'm just not happy at all, mate. I think for what I've been reading on the internet and also my mates and all that, all Reds, a couple of Evertonians and they're enjoying it, but mainly the Reds are just not happy at the minute, kid. And it's mainly one person. I don't know if you would, whether other Liverpool fans are going to come on, maybe slate me, but even yourself and that, I don't know, mate. I was listening to Gerrard before, which really interesting what he was saying, but me personally, mate, I think I'm giving Brendan Rodgers one last season, this season now, mate, because For what he's spent over the years, and you know, for what his formations and his tactics and all that, mate, they're just not good enough anymore. And I just don't know where we're going at the moment. I know it's early days, as Gerrard said before, which is fair enough. But I just past few games and that, even last season, it's like he's just in denial. Because you know, we're sitting there watching it, and it's like it's not working out. But yet he won't change. And it's like, you know, what, where do we go from here, kind of thing.
You know, it was interesting, you know, the interview with Steve. And I think a lot will depend on Daniel Sturridge now. You know,
Just let me finish to get us out of this mess.
Don't forget, last Christmas, we were in a bad situation. Brendan turned it round. He tried a new formation. We went 10, 12, 13 games unbeaten, whatever it was. We climbed up the table and things seemed a lot better. Now we seem to have gone back to where we were last Christmas, and there's been a lot of players come in. You know, whatever the fans want with the manager, it's their opinion. And we're all Liverpool fans. We want what's best for the club. Social network, you know, it's very, very anti Brendan Rodgers. But, you know, as I'm saying what Stevie said, and it's right, I think if he can get Sturridge back as soon as possible and continue in the team and work out some way of form with Benteke, that would be Brendan's hope to get a good season.
I think it's a bigger job than that, though, mate, to
be honest. Fair comment. If you're leaking goals in the manner which we have been doing the end of last season and going into this season, you know, we're talking about threes and a six, you know, there's a lot of threes there, and the defender's not been good, and you know, you put the end of last season to the beginning of this season now, and you put that compact together, and it doesn't look, it's not good reading, you know.
Oh, no, it's not. Well, obviously, when I seen the lineup and I seen the likes of Lucas and that, and, you know, we had no experience in there, mate. And when I seen the lineup and, as I said before, Lucas and stuff like that, how many times, you know, I'm not just picking on Lucas here, but the whole squad as a whole. But every time you see Lucas in there, he can't run, he can't do nothing at all, but yet he still gets picked all the time. We needed experience against United. That was the best time, right, this season to beat United at all.
I totally agree.
They were awful.
Totally agree. But my worry was, you know, with Firmino playing on the right and Danny Ings on the
of
left.
Of course, yeah.
If we were
yeah.
going to get the best out of Benteke, I'd have Ings in and around. But me personally, in and around Benteke, you know, to cause problems. But he was too far off. He was too isolated. We only got one cross into the box, which he shouldn't have scored.
One thing I couldn't understand is tremendous that, like, goal. It's a Liverpool United game. Where were the challenges? You know, like Gerrard and Carragher. And I know it's obviously that's gone now, but there's no challenges. It's a derby, you know what I mean? And there's nothing in there at all. And it's like it just didn't look right.
Well, it was as poor as the first half. You're likely to see in the Premiership all season from both teams.
David, really good call. I know you've seen a lot on social media. There's a piece in The Express that Paul Joyce has done, and Paul's a cracking journalist. We all know him well. Yes, he's sort of close to the people who matter within both football clubs, Everton and Liverpool. And he's obviously been talking to FSG, who say they anticipated a slow start. So I don't think there's going to be any sort of managerial change-up in the short term. Thank you very much for your call, though, David. Good to speak to you. Have a good night. We're going to take a very short break here. It's obviously going to fire. It's set a fire in people's bellies, hasn't it? What's happened in the last two games?
But that's football. Then football changes very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, if Liverpool go on a run now and win the next six games, and all of a sudden start challenging, that'll be forgotten. You know, obviously they're not happy with the way things are now, as Evertonians went a couple of weeks ago, but it's amazing what some positive results and performances do. But I agree with John to a certain extent that conceding too many goals, and that's not necessarily just down to the back four, that's down to the team.
Okay, we'll take some more of your calls and we'll do the charity bets next.
Graham Sharp and John Aldridge, the legends.
Radio City Sport.
Corner kick for Liverpool. Bellamy takes it, swings out. Crouch must be! Well, finally for Liverpool. He got up there big and alone. And Peter Crouch heads home for Liverpool. And on a night where they certainly haven't played their best, that might just prove the difference. Bordeaux 0, Liverpool 1.
Quarter past seven, Radio City Legends. And, of course, Bordeaux come up this week in the Europa League. But that was a 1-0 win back in 2006, Peter Crouch. Those away games are so important, aren't they, John? I mean, there's a lot of focus on the Europa League for Liverpool this season.
The way we started off the season is going to have to be. Yeah, you know, there's a big carrot at the end of it. Indeed, the winners go into the Champions League. You know, you've got to take it very seriously. Indeed, the fact that the squad that we've got now, you know, you're looking probably, you know, even given players who need a game, a run out there, you know, and decent players like some Bogdan possibly. You've got Sacco, Marino needs games. Torre, you know, Lucas hasn't played that many. Neither has Sean. You know, is Alan ready to come to have a run out? You know, your Sturridge may maybe get a bit of time. Ings needs games and Origi needs games. Ibe needs games. So on paper, Liverpool, you know, they'll have a good team going out there, you know. He's built a really good second string team, Brendan Rodgers. Perhaps could have done better than the first string team at the weekend.
I was going to say that there, I thought I'll leave it.
But yeah. It's a competition that we have to take seriously, and you want to go to Bordeaux and get off to a flyer or come away without a defeat, that's for sure, and try and build some momentum, try and get us to start get a bit more creativity. You know, Coutinho might even have a game.
But it is, John, it's important that, you know, we talk, people say, oh, it's not the Champions League and it's this and that, but you win games. Beat Bordeaux, you went to the next game, confidence is up,
momentum,
you know, and then you go on and on kind of thing. So whilst it's not the Champions League, it's still, for me personally, it's something you want to do well in. You want to go as far as you possibly can, and there'll be decent opposition there, especially when the teams from the Champions League drop out, you know, so it becomes a decent competition. So, you know, Liverpool, should they take it serious? Of course they should.
Got to.
Just going on from that, I think it's important we use Naismith as an example for these players to actually show the value and the worth to the manager and show, hey, I want to be in this team. I can get you started winning games and go and do what Naismith did for Everton.
Angry man syndrome.
Absolutely.
As Sharpie called it before. Let's get to the phone lines. Michael's red. Evening, Michael.
All right, lads, you okay?
Sorry for keeping you waiting. Angry man or not yourself?
Angry, disappointed, shocked. The list goes on. In all honesty, this has gone on from early doors last season. You know, obviously with the sale of Suarez, it was always going to take a bit of time, but some of the transfers that we made last summer was, you know, shocking. I mean, how you can sell your most hard-working player. You know, the player that you looked at, who was the best player in the team and also the most hard-working player, then you go and bring Balotelli in. It's just like, whoever sanctioned that decision, it's just, you know, they need the red testing, to be honest. And then, we go and bring some kids in, like Markovic, and he's been shipped out without really being, you know, Brendan prides himself on bringing youngsters through. And he's just give up on Markovic straight away, and it's all right saying he's only gone on loan, but you know, it doesn't really look that good for him. I know we didn't really impress, but you know, we've only really got one little winger at the club at the minute, and he's only a kid himself.
Can you see a turnaround in things this season, Michael?
Yeah, if Brendan goes, and to be honest with you, I've not spoke to one Liverpool fan since really, definitely towards the end of last season. And I genuinely mean, this is not like an exaggeration, I've not spoke to one Liverpool fan who wants Brendan to stay. I mean, you know, you usually get one or two who will support him or whatever, you know, they just want to get... But everyone can see it. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts on it, John. I'm not, you know, obviously, yeah, everyone's got their own opinion, but...
We're saying that, Michael, on social media, you know, what you're saying is right. A lot of people have lost the confidence in the manager, you know, just up the players haven't, because once that happens, you know, it can come, you know, untenable, as we've seen in the past.
But don't you think you've really struggled, you know, as the caller says, to replace Suarez? I mean, look at Suarez and Sturridge, the goals he scored in the games they won.
Yeah.
You know, and when you lose that, that's really, really hard to replace. They've gone Balotelli, didn't work. You know, they've gone Benteke now. So they need somebody that's going to try, and whether they can get somebody that's going to replace Suarez and Sturridge and the goals they get, that's a big thing. Goals win matches, yeah. Although you know more than anybody.
Well, the four strikers last year, mm-hmm. 8 goals between them,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Sharpie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then going back to what I said to David before, Matt, you know, a lot of hinge on Sturridge, you know, combining with Benteke and forming a partnership of some sort on the line is what we've seen. Well, I don't think anything can be as good as what we've seen a couple of seasons ago with the three S's. Mm-hmm. And but certainly that's what Brendan's got to try and make happen ASAP.
Well, you know, the thing is with this Sturridge thing, yeah, I'll have it all day. If Sturridge can stay fit, he'll score goals.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we haven't got players with, you know, I've said this for probably, well, definitely since last season. People won't realise how much we miss Suarez. Obviously, he's one of the best players in the world. But when we come up against teams, doesn't matter who it was, they were terrified of him, which meant teams were pushed back probably 10, 15 yards.
Yep.
Which then give more Gerrard more space, give Sterling more space, Coutinho and Sturridge.
Yeah, it's
and,
good point.
And, you know, Brendan owes his new contract and the faith that he's been given to Suarez, because he was the catalyst, you know. Cristiano Ronaldo scores X amount of goals every season. Suarez missed the first 5 games of the 13-14 season and finished level with the golden boot with him. Mm. I mean, you know.
A special one. He's absolutely special.
Michael, really good points. Mm.
Good point.
We've just got a couple of minutes left in the show, but it's great to hear from you. Hopefully we'll get you back on again in the future.
Take care.
And Michael sort of represents, you know, a cross section. You know, there are people who are extremely frustrated. Well, the other side is.
Listen, it's not easy, but it's not the Liverpool that the Liverpool fans have been used to watching. As John says, the Manchester United performance first half was the worst I've seen for a long, long time. We can talk about different factors, but for me, the big thing that's changed from Liverpool going so close, you know, a couple of years ago to winning, is. Goals yeah. win games, and he made a very, very good point about defenders pushing back because they were they need to get that threat again, you know, for me personally, for them to become a fearful side.
We've only scored 3 goals all season up to now, haven't we? So that tells you the story, doesn't it?
Says quite a bit. I'm sure we'll get some more calls on Friday on it. Let's go through some of the tweets. Quick fire, as always. Ben from Gattaca, the selection against United was an absolute joke. Would you have chosen anyone different, Aldo?
Now I would have.
All right, yeah, that could take a while. Martin from Mossley Hill, do you think the Blues can continue their good run up to the Derby?
Hopefully, yeah, but it's a tough game next time out. It's Swansea away, who want to get back into winning ways after getting beat by Watford. So, tough game next week, but if we can get something from that, no reason why not.
OK, Rob from Tranmere. He's not a Tranmere fan, but well done to Tranmere for beating Chester. Great result there. Do you reckon Naismith should start more games or be used as an impact player?
Well, if he continues to do what he's done on Saturday, he'll start more games than not, you know, but certainly he's a good one to come in off the bench.
OK, a couple here. Peter Lawson says, heartbreaking listening to Stephen Gerrard on City. Should still be part of the Liverpool team. Hashtag legend. Rosie says, love listening to Stevie. Andy Garside tells Stevie we miss him. Hashtag my captain. A few thoughts there. We've got to give a minute for Sharpie to bask in the glory of his charity bet win. He went for Cardiff, who beat Huddersfield 2-0. Middlesbrough beat MK Dons 2-0. And Gillingham, who won 2-1 against Blackpool.
Never in doubt. Cream always rises to the top, and it did this
well
weekend.
Done, Sharp, well done, Sharpie. Well done,
it's going to have to rise further because you've raised £260 and Aldo's pot is still currently on £460.
No, but that's not Aldo's pot.
I'm going to have to look at these other leagues, you know, a little bit more than the Premiership. Tranmere didn't let me down anyway. Yeah. Swansea let me down.
Yes, they lost 1-0 at home. You went for Swansea. Tranmere won 2-0 against Chester, and Arsenal beat Stoke by 2-0. The hour's flown away. Great to have Stephen Gerrard on. Thank you very much to him for joining us for a big portion of this show. And of course, we'll be back on Friday night when we'll be previewing more action, and hopefully some of the stress will be released from John Aldridge. But I think he got the tin hat on tonight, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. I thought he'd cope with it very well. To be fair, I thought it would have been worse.
did you think you two would turn into counsellors when you became footballers? Oh.
No, we've done a lot of that over the years, haven't we? After the games, we've stopped people kicking the dogs and the cats and calmed them down. And then we've had to go out and have a few bevvies to sort our heads out, me and Sharpie.
Thank you very much indeed. And thank you, as always, for listening to The Legend Show on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Graham Sharp and John Aldridge, The Legends.
Radio City Sport.